Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Macy's shares jump as investors make a nearly $6 billion offer to buy the famed department store. Plus, a journal poll finds Donald Trump taking the lead in 2024 as President Biden's approval hits a new low.
We asked people, did Biden's policies help you or have they hurt you? And far more people say they've been hurt by Biden's policies than helped. And that's just one sign of the weakness that the president has.
And oil producers mount a last stand against calls for a fossil fuel phase-out at UN climate talks. It's Monday, December 11th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with a journal exclusive as we're reporting that an investor group is trying to buy retailer Macy's for $5.8 billion. Real estate investment firm Arkhouse Management and asset manager Brigade Capital submitted a bid earlier this month to buy up Macy's stock for $21 a share and take the company private. The group already holds a big position in Macy's through funds that are managed by Arkhouse and says the 165-year-old retailer is currently undervalued on public markets. The offer marks a roughly 32% premium to where shares closed on Friday and has been discussed by Macy's board. Macy's shares are currently up roughly 20% in off-hours trading. Meanwhile, Cigna has pulled out of a major deal to merge with Humana after the sides failed to agree financial terms to create a new $140 billion health insurance giant. Last month, the Journal reported on Cigna's plans to acquire Humana in a cash-and-stock transaction, which the company was hoping to wrap up by the end of the year. But shareholders reacted coolly to the news, sending Cigna's shares down nearly 10%. Instead, Cigna is now planning for additional share buybacks next year to the tune of $11.3 billion. The abandoned deal offers yet another sign of how tough the M&A market has been this year, with deal-making in the U.S. down 14% so far, according to Dealogic. And Treasury auctions aren't typically a blockbuster moment for markets, but lately, the issuance of U.S. government bonds has caught everyone's attention. Today and tomorrow, a combined $108 billion worth of 3-year, 10-year, and 30-year bonds will hit the markets, along with $213 billion of shorter-term bills. But as reporter Eric Wallerstein explains, investors fear that weak demand might cause tumult in the market after the last 30-year auction was poorly received.
We've been seeing signs that in Japan and China, there's been less pickup of treasuries. Individuals have been the big marginal buyer that have kind of stepped in and filled the gap. Americans who want to lock in higher yields and earn those rates. And then hedge funds actually have been filling a big gap, doing arbitrage trades. And there are signs that that's also kind of waning. So there's always going to be banks to buy bonds. There's going to be investors who want treasuries. It's just that now buyers are a little less willing to step up. And that means higher rates for the government. That means more of their spending is going to have to go to investors who bought their debt just to service their interest costs.
Coming up, President Biden's political standing drops in a new journal poll, and countries debate phasing out the burning of coal, oil, and gas in the closing stretch of UN climate talks. We've got those stories and more after the break.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
President Biden's approval rating has fallen to a record low, according to a new Wall Street Journal poll of U.S. voters. Just 37% approve of Biden's performance, and he now trails Donald Trump by 6 percentage points on a hypothetical ballot that includes third-party candidates. It is the latest shock for the president and for Democrats, some of whom are openly fretting about Biden's stamina heading into a likely gruesome campaign and the possibility of Trump's return. Editor Aaron Zitner oversees the Journal's polling efforts, and he joins me now from Washington to sift through the findings of this latest Journal survey. Aaron, these top-line figures sound pretty bad for the president. Take us into specifically what is going wrong for him, where support for the president and his policies seems to be slipping as time passes.
Yeah, this is really a terrible poll for President Biden by all kinds of measures. You mentioned a few. I mean, here's one that just leaps out. We asked people, did Biden's policies help you or have they hurt you? And far more people say they've been hurt by Biden's policies than helped. 23% say helped. 53% say they've been hurt by the president's agenda. By contrast, like 49% of people say that Donald Trump's policies as president helped them, and only 37% said hurt. It's very hard to go into an election with twice as many people saying you've been hurt by your policies than helped. And that's just one weakness that the president has.
And Aaron, while we've talked about Biden falling short of Donald Trump in a hypothetical rematch of the 2020 election, we should note that if Trump doesn't win the primary, your poll shows Biden would struggle as well against someone like Nikki Haley.
That's right. Nikki Haley would beat him, according to this poll. We did a hypothetical head-to-head match, and she wins by 17 points, which is really a stunningly large margin and a suggestion that people really don't like Trump or Biden and are looking for new alternatives. And by the way, the same is not true of Ron DeSantis. When we ran a test of DeSantis versus Biden in a hypothetical general election, they tied. It's really Nikki Haley who overperforms both Trump and DeSantis as a potential GOP nominee.
Let's talk about immigration and border security for a moment. Republicans have been trying to steer voter focus toward these issues to the border, and our polling seems to suggest that has been paying off for them.
That's right. When we ask about who's better on different issues, people really prefer Trump by huge margins on some of the most fundamental issues, the economy, who can better tame inflation. But immigration really stands out. By 30 percentage points, people think that Trump would be better than Biden in securing the border. And there's really a large share of Democrats, 33%, who disapprove of the president's handling of the border. This could be because you're starting to see in Democratic-run cities like Chicago and New York, immigrants coming in and being a big cost burden and a real problem for officials in those cities. They're having a hard time adjusting to the influx of undocumented workers, both from a budget standpoint and just a human handling of people coming in and housing them standpoint. And that could be one thing that is depressing Biden's numbers on immigration in particular.
Aaron, how much cherry picking must one do to find some winning themes for the president? Are there any here?
Well, there are two things that if you squint hard enough, you can find to be potential good news for the president. The first is on abortion. Poll after poll finds that people have become more pro-choice. And this poll finds that quite a few people will vote on the issue of abortion. It's a top-of-mind issue for them. And depending on where you are in the country and whether abortion is at risk and is salient in your state, Biden's lead as being the candidate but seen as better able to handle abortion could give him a lift. And we've certainly seen abortion lift other Democratic candidates in the last midterms. The other thing is that what's really happening is Trump is stable from poll to poll. It's really Biden who's slipping. And a big part of the slippage are elements of his own coalition. Younger voters, Black voters, Hispanic voters are drifting away from him. But they still lean Democratic in many other parts of this survey, which suggests that while they're dissatisfied with the president now, in time they'll come home to the party. That's to be seen, but that's what we're seeing in these numbers, that there's a fraying of his coalition, but it could be reassembled.
Finally, Aaron, I've got to ask, is it possible we're just too far out from the election for head-to-head polling results in particular to be indicative in any meaningful way of what will actually happen on Election Day, November 2024?
Well, yes and no. Yes, we are a year away, and there's going to be millions and millions of dollars spent to shape perceptions, and there's a lot of events to come. But what's unusual about this election is that the two likely nominees are very well known. People know Trump, people know Biden, and their impressions in this survey are informed. That said, you can find polls from 2012 where Barack Obama was trailing Mitt Romney, and of course he went on to win. So polls this far out may not tell you the final result. And there is a lot to come. Biden could be impeached. We just saw Hunter Biden, his son, face new legal problems. And Donald Trump faces 91 criminal counts in 4 different prosecutions. Our poll does find that if he is convicted of a felony, people might reevaluate their vote, and the race could shift a little more in Biden's favor if there's a significant conviction of Donald Trump. The other thing that will matter is how voters view the economy and what the actual facts of the economy are. Maybe we are headed for a soft landing. We've been told for a while that a recession is coming, and it hasn't come. Maybe it'll improve. And there are indications that inflation is moderating and that people are perceiving that inflation is moderating. The views of inflation in this poll are a little less pessimistic than in the past. And if inflation recedes as a worry, that would certainly lift the president's fortunes in re-election.
I have been speaking to Wall Street Journal editor Aaron Zitner. Aaron, thanks as always.
Good to be with you.
Meanwhile, that same Wall Street Journal poll has found that U.S. public opinion remains broadly favorable toward Israel as fighting between it and Hamas enters its third month. More than 50% of those surveyed said they believe Israel is taking the military action needed to defend itself and prevent another Hamas attack, compared to 25% of respondents who said Israel's military action was disproportionate. There were major partisan and generational divides within the results. Republicans and older respondents sided more with the Israeli people in the conflict, while younger Americans split and Democrats sympathized more with the Palestinian people by a nearly 3-1 margin. Climate negotiators meeting in Dubai are entering the home stretch of talks that could see countries agree to phase out all burning of coal, natural gas, and oil. The Journal's Matthew Dalton is at the UN Climate Change Conference and says there are signs that major oil-producing countries are now taking seriously the potential risks to the industry.
OPEC has sent a letter to its member states calling them, urging them to argue against the phase-out, saying that the current discussions could be a tipping point with irreversible consequences for fossil fuel producers. You can sometimes dismiss these UN negotiations as happening at such a high altitude that they're never going to have any concrete impacts on the ground, but the OPEC countries did seem to think that this could be a very important moment for fossil fuels, and they're fighting back hard.
Meanwhile, Matthew told me that energy companies are taking the view that they could keep producing fossil fuels so long as they sequester their emissions underground via carbon capture technology. However, the U.S. and other major negotiators are pushing back against that.
Europe and the United States say that technology should be reserved for the small amount of emissions from industries that have difficulty switching away from fossil fuels. For example, the steel industry, which relies on natural gas for its processes and will have difficulty switching away. But for the vast majority of fossil fuels, their use needs to be reduced sharply. As the French energy minister told me last night, we are not going to be saved by carbon capture and sequestration.
The UN climate talks are scheduled to conclude tomorrow. And if indeed fossil fuels are to be phased out under a COP agreement, nuclear power has emerged as a key alternative, though not without its own challenges. In 2022, the U.S., which is the world's largest producer of nuclear power, got around 24% of its enriched uranium from Russia. But amid fears that Moscow could cut off supplies of the essential fuel for nuclear energy, Washington is keen to revive domestic uranium production. In October, the Biden administration sent a proposal to Congress to invest $2 billion to improve long-term domestic enrichment capabilities. And Assistant Secretary for Nuclear Energy at the U.S. Department of Energy, Dr. Catherine Huff, explains why this investment is running against the clock.
We requested this as an administration because it is a high priority. In the long term, we would like to see this commercial industry stand on its own without consistent and forever federal investment. It's important to invest quickly so that it's an aggressive expansion and we don't run out of uranium before we need it.
And we are exclusively reporting that Tucker Carlson is launching his own subscription streaming service, which is expected to go live today. We understand that the former Fox News host explored launching the Tucker Carlson Network on social media platform X after debuting his show there in the spring. But for now, TCN will be solely available through Carlson's website for $9 a month. X declined to comment. And that is What's News for Monday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant and Daniel Bach. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
ServiceNow is the intelligent platform that puts AI to work for people across every corner of your business. All in a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow.